Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Tesvav. We are on the Mishnah on Yudal Amid Beis. Continuing now in commercial activity with non-Jews. We just start off the Masechta going all the way back 2 weeks ago to Daf Beis. We talked about time consideration, meaning if it's the wrong time of year, right time of year, however you want to describe it. The Mishnah on Yudal Amid Beis. Right time of year for the goy, right wrong time of year for a Jew. So there we're talking about an idolater. So you're not allowed to sell them anything because it's just simply the wrong time of year. And then the Mishnah progressed. The Mishnahs went on to describe what are the Yom Idam, what are the holidays of the Goyim. But now as we move to the end of the first parak of Avodah Zarah, so we're talking about now more general bans. Bans of things that you're not allowed to sell. Now in the previous Mishnah we talked about things that you're not allowed to sell them year round. But because of religious activity, in other words, they're going to take these items, four items, perhaps three more items, mentioned in yesterday's daf that you're not allowed to sell them, because those are the things that are used year-round for idolatrous purposes. As we move now to this Mishnah today, so we're going to also include another ban that you're not allowed to sell to a guy, but it has nothing to do with idolatry. Nothing to do with idolatry. So what does that have to do with? Well, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to spend a good part of today's daf answering that question. So what is the ban over here? The ban's on livestock. It's a really interesting zera de rabbanan that one is not allowed to sell livestock to a goy. Now in the Gemara's compartmentalization of animals, so it's a really simple it's really simple to categorize animals from the perspective of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Large animals and small animals. Okay, I know that. You want me to say it again? Do I need to repeat? So the behemah gasa, behemah daka. So large animals. In my mind, I just took my family out to the farm. So in my mind, animals you can pick up are small animals. Animals you can't pick up are large animals. Okay, I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but look, I have a nice picture of my kid with a baby goat. So but with the large animals, so like a cow and a horse, so those are large animals. And as we're going to be discussing in just a moment, the Mishnah is going to drop it right in front of us as if it's a Devar Pashut. It's a ban. You're not allowed to sell large animals to Goyim. It's an Issa de Rabbanan to do so. The Mishnah doesn't explain why. We're going to get to the reasons why as we get to today's daf. But that is a ban. On the other hand, when it comes to small animals, so it depends on where you live and depends on the minhag. Some have the minhag not to sell to Goyim, and some have the minhag where they do sell to Goyim. So there's a certain amount of flexibility and it's determined by minhag when it comes to small animals, but there is a blanket ban that one is not allowed to sell livestock to a goy. That's what we're going to be learning in the course of our Mishnah. And you'll see that the reasons why are obviously very important. Amoraim, in the course of this morning, we're going to see did sell animals to goyim. That obviously is subject to a discussion. Why? How could they do that? It's today's daf, it's tomorrow's daf. This is our topic of discussion. So let's start with the Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Makom Shenagu Limkor Behema Daka Lo Avdi Kochav Mochrim, Makom Shenagu Shelo Limkor Ein Mochrim. So when it comes to Behema Daka, it comes to small animals, so if the minhag is that you don't sell, so that's the minhag of our community, so you follow the minhag. And if the minhag is where we do sell, so once again, if that's the minhag of the community, you follow that minhag as well. Uvechol Makom Ein Mochrim Lehem Behema Gasa. Agalim V'sayachim Shleimim V'shvurim. However, in every place, one is not allowed to sell to a guy a large animal. And it does not matter if it is a golem, sayachim, calves, foals, shleimim, shvurim, complete, broken. In other words, the ban is a full blanket ban. That one is not allowed to do so. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, let me finish the Mishnah and I'll come back to discuss a little bit more. Rabbi Yehuda, matir b'shvurah. Rav Yehuda says that the sale of a broken animal is fine. You're allowed to do. And Ben Meserah, Mati Besus, and Ben Meserah is of the opinion that you're allowed to sell a horse to a guy. Okay. What's going on over here in the Mishnah? Why? So again, as I mentioned, it's going to be a big part of today's discussion, but let's get a jump start. Let's foreshadow. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'chol makom ein mochrim lehem behema gasa, mibnei, shimuyicheres l'malacha v'osa behemto malacha b'shabbos. So Rashi says that really this is all a Shabbos consideration. We know that on Shabbos, so not only do I have to abstain from doing work, but the psukim go on to describe your children, your servants, and also your behemoths, your animals. In other words, your animals have to secede from doing work on Shabbos. It's what we call shvitas bemto. Now, obviously, the animal is an eno ben das. In other words, what does the animal know from Shabbos and not from Shabbos? Although there are wonderful stories that that in our house we tell our children about the animal that refused to work on Shabbos, even though he was sold to a guy. Okay, but in other words, what does the animal know from Shabbos? Obviously, it's on you. The isra is on you. You're not allowed to work your animal on Shabbos. In fact, there is a Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos. I know I gave that. It's a wide range. But there's a Tosfos over there that asks just such a wonderful question. How can your animal eat on Shabbos, meaning pick grass from the ground on Shabbos and eat on Shabbos? Right? That's a malach on Shabbos. That's tolish. Right? Your animal's violating Shabbos when he's eating when he's grazing out in the field. So intuitively, we all know the answer. Meaning, we know it's okay. You don't have to stop your animal from grazing on Shabbos. But in other words, it's when you think of... Huh? Right. Okay, right. So, but when you think... Meaning, if you think about this idea of Shrisa Behemta, you arrive at questions like that. Meaning, it's a funny question. But, okay. But... Okay. Hold it. You got the right idea. Okay. Perfect. Danny, you're in the right place. You've come to the right place. Okay. So it's a Shabbos consideration. And so when I'm providing an animal over to work, so he's going to be working on Shabbos, and that obviously presents a problem. Now, Danny already presented a consideration, which is when you sell it, it's no longer your animal. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. Now, then, once we're here, now we understand the opinions of Rav Yehuda and Ben Becerra of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda said, if it's a broken animal, you'll have to sell it to them. Makes sense? Broken animals don't work. What do you do with a broken animal? Assuming it's a kosher animal, you shechta, you eat it. If it's not a kosher animal, I don't know what to do with it. But, in other words, but at least you understand the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Ben Becerra, also, very interesting. Ben Becerra says you'll have to sell him a horse. Why? Because if all this is a Shabbos consideration, that you're not allowed to work your animal on Shabbos, well, let's consider, what does a horse do? So a horse can do a lot of malachas on Shabbos, but primarily a horse is for riding. So a horse is for riding, so you're getting on the horse and you're riding the horse. So we have a principle of the Gemara in Shabbos, it's called Chai Noseis Atzmo. That when you are carrying something on Shabbos, so you violate Shabbos, assuming you're either going in a Rishus HaRabim or you're going from Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim, all that's true. But if you're carrying something that can walk on its own, so there's this concept called Chai Noseis Atzmo. Now, you're supporting his weight, but he also is helping you with that support. And the Gemara in Shabbos says it's not a malacha d'oraisa. Okay, maybe also midrabbanan, but it's not a malacha d'oraisa. For a horse to carry a person, we have the same idea. Since you are not dead weight, you're live weight, and you are helping distributing the weight, so you're helping with the carrying, and so therefore this is chaynos kesatzmo. And so you're not violating Shabbos when your horse is carrying another person, meaning someone's running on your horse. And therefore, according to Ben Becerra, one would be allowed to sell a horse going into, one would be allowed to sell a horse to a non-Jew. Okay. Adkan Divrei HaMishnah, that is the end of the Mishnah. Again, as far as Shabbos is concerned, we only know that because of Rashi, and Rashi only knows that because of the Gemara coming up. But in other words, what we've learned together in the Mishnah is that there is a blanket ban to sell large livestock to a non-Jew. One's not allowed to do it. And when it comes to small livestock, go cheap. So if the minig is not to do it, you don't do it. If the minig is to do it, then you do it. Lememra. So the
without a saddle.
Yeah. Oh, because once you put the saddle on. Okay. I hear that. Okay. Could be right. Whatever. One could make an argument that the saddle is bottled to the person, but okay. What you're saying is reasonable. Lememra di iser alekem enagahu diika. So hecha denahog iser. Nahog, hechadenahog, heternahog. So what bothers the Gemara immediately is that when it comes to small animals, so it's minug. It's not iser, it's minug. So the Gemara says, "Ramenu ein ma'amidim behema b'mudaka sholav diko chavim imeshim echashunim ala revia." The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that Mishnah coming up in the beginning of the second parak of our Masechta. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to park your car. Now, I know it's not a car over here, but you're not allowed to park your animal in the lot of a guy, because we're worried that they are involved in Mishkav Behema, and Mishkav Behema is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it's a Rayus, and so by you putting your animal within proximity of a guy, so you're violating now the Isser of Lifnei Iver. So therefore, you're not allowed to do that. And it's true by large animals, it's true by small animals, meaning the Mishnah over there just simply says Behema. As long as the guy can have Mishkav Behema with the animal, So then you are aiding and abetting. So the Mishnah over there says we're worried about Revia. Now, obviously, that's not Shabbos. That's Revia. That's the Isser of Arayos. That's the Isser of Mishka Behema. But still, why aren't we worried about that over here? And therefore, right, very absolutely correct. And therefore, it should be Asr. Should be subject to a Minug. So Amarav, Makam Shitir, Limkor, Hitir, Liachim, Makam Shasr, Liachim, Asr, Limkor. So the Gemara starts off with one approach and that of Rav, and that Rav says, well, no, what we're going to do is, once we know our Mishnah over here, that's really Tali on Minug, so we're going to look at that Mishnah over there, and we're going to say the same thing, it's Tali on Minug. If the Minug is that we're allowed to sell small animals to the guy, because then equally you'd be allowed to park it by a guy as well, meaning, obviously, in this community, we're not worried about Mishka Behema. But if the Minug is not to sell to a guy, so then the Minug is also not allowed to park it, because we're worried about Mishka Behema. That's the Gemara's first approach. It is a difficult approach, because look at the Mishnah over that we quoted, Ein Ma'amid in Behema. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it. Now, the way Rav is teaching up the Mishnah, it's Minug. Okay, it's a little bit difficult. Okay, but Rav says it. V'Rav Elazar Omer, Af B'Makom Sha'asur Liyachid Mutar Limkor. And Rav Elazar says, no, we can make just a nice, easy distinction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah coming up. Because even where there's a Minug to, even if the Minug is that you're allowed to sell the small animals to Goyim, you still can't park your animal by a Goy. And the reason why is very simple. I'm going to read again. We're on the very top, it says, Vav Amad Aleph. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Af B'Makom Sha'asur Liyachid Mutar Limkor, Mai Taima, Ove Kochavim Chasa Behem Toshalo Teyaker. Oh, very good. So the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar here now gives a very easy way to distinguish. Our Mishnah here is talking about where it is your animal, but you're selling it over to a Goy. You sell over to a Goy, so don't worry about Mishka Behema. Because once the animal becomes his animal, and then he's involved in Mishka Behema with his very own animal, he's damaging his own animal. Right? Mishka Behema results in sterility to the animal. He obviously does not want his animal to be sterile. So, even though he has a taiva, even though he has the Yetzirah, but he's not going to do it because he doesn't want to damage his own property. But if you're parking your animal in front of the inn of the guy, so now you're giving him a Yetzirah to have Mishka Behema with the animal. It's not his animal. So therefore, he's not the fact that he's going to be damaging is not going to bother him. And so therefore, you are presenting a Mikshal in front of the guy. And that's why you're not allowed to do it. And Rav Elazar now gives a really simple way to distinguish between our Mishnah and the Mishnah coming up. Mule, you mean. Right. And Rav ended up agreeing to Rav Elazar's answer. Rav Elazar's answer is so good, it's so glatt, that Rav said that enachinami, that you're not allowed to park your animal in front of the guy, but if once you sell it to them, then it's no problem, because he's chas al mamono, meaning he doesn't want to damage his own property. It's a good chiluk. We continue now in the Gemara, V'chol Makom, in Mochim Behem Agasa, V'chule, my time. Okay, so now we get up to the large animals, and it obviously requires an explanation. Now, we already got a little sneak peek into this because we saw Rashi back in the Mishnah. But here the Gemara now discusses it full out. Why is there a rabbinic ban that one is not allowed to sell large livestock to a guy? Such a simple question, meaning do we need the answer? It's nice to know the answer. It's nice to know the answer, meaning it's Gzeirat Derabbanan. But the Gemara here is now going to fill us in with some details in terms of what was behind the Gzeirat Derabbanan. So my time in Hidla Reviyah Lo Chayshinan. So Ma'avid Bei Malacha Chayshinan. So the Gemara says, look, we're not worried about Reviyah, because as we already just established, once you sell it to them, it's their property, they're not going to want to be involved in Mishka Behema and damaging their own animal. We've just established that. That's fine. But I'll tell you the problem is Shabbos. Meaning you sell them the animal, it's Shabbos, the animal's going to work, and you're going to be in violation of Shitas Bamto. The Gemara asks now the obvious question. V'naved, kev nezav nekanya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's no longer your animal. Once you sell it to the guy, it's his animal, there's no longer Shitas Bamto. The animal only has a prohibition of Malacha Shabbos when the animal belongs to you. Once it doesn't belong to you, meaning a Jew, once it belongs to a guy, there's no longer an Isra Malacha for the animal. So the Gemara says, you're right. Gzera mishum sheila mishum schiras. Gemara says, look, once you start selling livestock over to Goyim, so now you're in the business of livestock. So you're going to be selling to Goyim. Maybe you open up another account where you're going to be renting to Goyim. Maybe you have a guy who's a good friend of yours. Maybe you're going to lend it to him. And so in cases of rental and lending, whose animal is it? yours, not his. So it's your animal that's going to be working on Shabbos. So in the case of renting and lending, it's your animal, and therefore the animal is going to be in violation, or I should say better, you're going to be in violation of Shitas Bemto. So once you are selling the animal, it'll lead to rental, it'll lead to lending, and this is what we call now a gzera. The rabbis were gozer that one's not allowed to sell, for it may lead to lending, it may lead to renting. The Gemara says, She'ela kanya va'agra kanya. Gemara over here has a fascinating suggestion. Now, it's amazing that the Gemara even entertains it. Now, we all know, we've been around long enough, we all know Gemara is not going to conclude this way. But for just a couple of lines of Gemara, the Gemara is going to suggest that when you're renting and when you're lending, it's his during the rental, it's his during the loan. That's what the Gemara now is suggesting. So the Gemara says, She'ela kanya v'agra kanya. So if I lend it to him, hasn't he acquired it? When I lend it to him, hasn't he acquired it? Meaning during the time, during the interval of lending and renting, so it's his. And therefore, you're not in violation of Shitas Bamta. Ella Amar Rami Berei de Rabbi Eba. So the Gemara says, and it's as if the Gemara is saying, it's really, I mean, just to process this Gemara, the Gemara for a moment is agreeing with this argument. Okay? So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe I can give another reason. Gzera Mishum Nisyoni. So the Gemara says, well, what about the test drive? Okay? You got into the dealership. I'll give it a test drive. Of course, it's gonna look great for that test drive. It's a brand new car. So Mishum Nisyoni. So what about the test drive? Now, what are we worried about the test drive of the animal? De Zimnan De Zavna Le La Nia Le Samach Lishkias Achama De Male Shabasa. So what could happen is now, right now in negotiation, it's Friday. It's Friday afternoon. Okay, it may not be the best time to negotiate the deal, but you're now selling him an animal on Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, as we're approaching Shabbos. V'amle ta nasye niale. And you say to him, look, try it out. Meaning, you want to see this animal work? Let's go. Let's have a test run of the animal. V'shamle lekale. And now, the clock turns into Shabbos. You now are speaking. And you're speaking now, and the animal is used to your orders, and the animal now is going to follow your instruction. The animal now goes as a result of your speaking, and the animal has a load on it, meaning because again, it's a test run. We're trying out the animal. And this is now what is called the Isser of Mechamer. If you work your animal, but not just working your animal, putting a load on the animal, but putting a load on the animal, instructing the animal to move. So this is one step above Shvitas Behemto. This is what the Gemara describes as Mechamer. How serious, how significant is Mechamer? It's very serious. Meaning, it's Chai V'Karmen Chatas. It's like violating a Malach on Shabbos. Now it's interesting. Mechamer is really interesting. It's not one of the 39 Malachas on Shabbos. But meanwhile, if you violate it, you have to bring, meaning if you do so B'Shogeg, you're going to bring a Karmen Chatas. There are two activities on Shabbos where it's an Issa Daraisa to violate, even though it's not one of the 39 Malachas. One is Mechamer, and the other one is Tchum. Right? You are not allowed to go beyond Tchum. Okay? That's not carrying, meaning carrying is picking up an item, moving it from one Rishus to another, or four Amos and Rishus or Abim. Here we're talking about you going beyond a certain boundary. So, and according to some opinions, Tchum is Daraisa. So there are two activities on Shabbos which are not malachas, but isuri darais on Shabbos, mechamer being one of them. So the Gemara says, so during the test run, on Friday, as now it turns into Shabbos, so you're going to try to prove to the guy that this is the deal he cannot pass up on, and you may be in violation of mechamer. And as a result of that, so therefore, we are concerned. And even right now, as the Gemara is entertaining, that if I lend it to him, and if I rent it to him, it's his, and it's not mine, and therefore I'm not violating Shvitas Bemto. But this test drive, during the test drive, it's still yours. You didn't finalize the sale yet. You're trying to finalize the sale, which means, of course, that it's yours. And you may be in violation of Mechamer. So, Maskev L'Rav Shisha.
Finalize the sale.
Hmm? And then once the Shabbos now, like, in other words, you can't complete the deal, and you're going to, right? I hear you. It's really amazing, right? I know the Gemara is going to be changing its tune in just a couple lines from now. But right now, the Gemara is saying is that there's a blanket ban on selling large livestock to a guy because of the test drive on Erev Shabbos. It's really, right.
The whole issue in the Mishnah of selling a behemoth is only
It's because of this opportunity. But again, the Gemara is saying that now. Just you gotta wait a little bit, but that's what the Gemara is saying right now. And here's now where the Gemara makes its turn. Meaning, when I rent something to somebody, he doesn't own it. He's renting it. He has rights and he has usage of it, but it's mine. And the Gemara makes this point very clear. So first of all, let's acquaint ourselves with the Mishnah, which we're also going to see in a short couple days from now. The Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to sell property to a guy, even renting property, sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's rental for residential, so that you're not allowed to do. Because he's going to be introducing Avodah Zarah into your home, meaning it's a rental. It's your house. So the Gemara says, now if you're saying that rental is ownership, so it's not your house, it's his house during the rental. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Avodah Zkochavim Dechamire. So the Gemara says, Dechsiv Lo Savito Eva Beisecha. So the Gemara says, well, at this point in time, I'm not fully convinced that rental is ownership. Rental is not ownership. Let's say rental is ownership. I still imagine, though, that the Torah does not want you to rent out your property to the guy, even though it's his, even though he's bringing Avodah Zarah into his house. Still, Lo Savi Toeva Beisecha. The Torah describes it as a Toeva. So even though during the rental it's not technically yours, it's his, but still, it's disgusting. It's not, the Torah does not want you engaged in that kind of behavior. So right now, the Gemara is not totally convinced that rental is not ownership, but the Gemara is going to be convinced. You mean to tell me that rental is ownership? So here now we're going to be quoting a Mishnah in Trumas, and this Mishnah in Trumas is clear, super clear. Look at the first case of the Mishnah in Trumas. The non-Kohen, am renting a cow from a Kohen. So in other words, whose cow is it? It's a Kohen's cow. So is this cow now during the rental allowed to eat truma? If the cow is mine, the answer is unequivocally no. Meaning because I'm not allowed to eat truma, and my animals are not allowed to eat truma. By virtue of the fact that I can feed karshine truma to a rented cow, meaning the owner of it is a Kohen, clearly during the rental, it belongs to the Kohen. So from this Mishnah in Truma, it's clear that rental does not equal ownership. So the Gemara says, fine. So the Kohen, I'm sorry, Afa Pisha Mazonosav, Lo Yachalena Kashina Truma. Visa Kadacha Schiris Kanya, my Lo Yachalena Paradidehi. So Elosh Mamina Schiris Lo Kanya. And the Gemara says, and look at the other side of that Mishnah. Meaning, if the Kohen is renting it, if rental equals ownership, Kohen should be allowed to be giving Truma to his animal. It's his animal, right? Obviously, the answer is wrong. It's not his animal. He has rights to it. He has usage of it, but it's not his. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's now where the Gemara has now made a full turn. Renting is not ownership. Borrowing something is not ownership. So now we can go back to where we started in that. I am not allowed to sell an animal, a livestock, large animal, to a non-Jew, because of our concern of Chil Shabbos, which manifests itself now in one of three ways. One, if I sell it to him, that in of itself is fine. But the Chachamim goes there, because if I sell it to him, I then may end up renting it to him. And during the rental, it's mine, not his. The animal still is obligated to keep Shabbos, being that now I've rented it to the guy, so I'm going to be in violation of Shittas Bamta. Two, if I end up selling it to him, I may end up lending it to him, which again results in the same problem. And three, the test drive on Erev Shabbos. The test drive on Erev Shabbos where I'm trying to finalize the sale, I'm trying to show him how this animal works, and as the clock strikes Shabbos, so I'm going to, the animal is going to follow my instruction and carry a burden based on my instruction, and that's the Issur D'oraisa of Mechamer.
Why don't we call the principle that something is not common, it's not common? So how often do you end up doing a sale on Erev Shabbat that you're going to go?
I hear you. The Gemara obviously feels that these are common enough activities, meaning the Mishnah says that there's a gzera. And we're just trying to understand why there's a gzera. So this is, for the first amud of today's daf, the Gemara says it's because of Shabbos. So obviously the Gemara felt that it was common. Okay. Rav Ada Shar Lizvun Echamre Ida De Sfira Ida De Safsira. Rav Ada allowed the sale of a donkey through an agent. So in other words, Rashi points out over here, Rav Ada obviously Jewish. The agent, says Rashi, is Jewish, and that's fine. Now, why should that be fine? The Gemara says, because look, we now know the reason behind the ban. And this gets to a really interesting topic. Once we know a reason behind the gzera, so can we now navigate through, and once, if we could rule out the reasons, so therefore we no longer have to subscribe to the ban. Okay? It's a general topic of discussion of once there's a gzera, can we investigate the reasons? Which the answer seems obviously yes, because the Gemara just did so over the course of the first Amma today. And once we know the reasons, can we now work the halacha in our favor once we know the reasons? In this case, can't generalize, and I don't want to do that, but in this case, the answer seems to be yes. Because look, if I sell my animal through an agent, the Gemara says, we have no problem. If we're worried about the test drive only is an issue because the animal's familiar with your voice. If you're selling through an agent, animal's not going to do anything because the agent instructs the animal to do so. Okay. So test drive is out of the discussion. And is the agent going to rent it out? Is the agent going to lend it? Of course not. The agent was assigned only to sell the animal. That's the only thing the agent is assigned to do. And furthermore, the agent doesn't want to lend it out and he doesn't want to rent it out because once you get to know the animal, you're going to see all the flaws in the animal and then he's not going to complete a sale. So the Gemara says that selling through agency would be fine. Okay. Rav Huna Zavinai Parilo V'Kochav. Okay, we're going to have a couple of questionable actions by Amorai. We start today with Rav Huna. Rav Huna sold his cow to a guy. Okay. Pause for just a moment. That's strange, meaning it's exerid de Rabbanim. One's not allowed to do so. So Amalei Rav Chista, my tam avan mar ha'chisa Rav Chista, question is action. Why'd you do that? So Amalei Amalei Shchita Zavna. So he says, well, I know that the issue is the animal is going to be violating Shabbos, meaning, again, I say the animal. You, the owner of the animal, are going to be violating Shabbos, but I happen to know that the guy that I sold it to wants to shech the animal. And so if he wants to shech the animal, it should be fine, right? Minatamer, we're in the top of Tezvav Amid Beis. Minatamer, Dominiki, Agavna, did not. And the Gemara says, and let's consider now the following. So we're going to be moving topics of discussion over here from Isser Shabbos to Isser Shemitah. We know during the seventh year, you're not allowed to work the land. Beishamer Omrim did not. Here the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Shvius. Beishamer Omrim lo yimkor adam para chareshes b'Shvius u beisilam ma'atir mimneshi achol shochta. The Mishnah in Shvius tells us the following. According to Beisilam, we're focusing on Beisilam. That's the accepted halacha. One is allowed to sell a plowing cow to another Jew during the Shemitah year. Why? Because even though you're not allowed to plow during Shemitah, but I'll make the argument, me the seller. Oh, you know, I'm selling it to him, and I know the animal's been plowing up until now, but it's a kosher animal, he's going to shecht it. And as long as there's that opportunity, that possibility that he's going to shecht it, so I'm good, meaning I didn't violate Lifnei either. So Amar Rabba Midami, Ha'asamein Adam Mitzvah Shvitas Be'amto B'Shvias, Ha'acha Adam Mitzvah Shvitas Be'amto B'Shabbos. So which Rabba says, how did you just compare Shemitah to Shabbos? Look, on Shabbos, you're right. If I sell the animal, so the animal now belongs to the guys we've discussed already. But selling could lead to lending, selling could lead to renting, and the animal, meaning me, the owner of the animal, will be in violation of Shemitah's Bamto. But let's talk about Shemitah. Is that true by Shemitah? Of course not. Meaning if I lend my animal during the Shemitah year, if I rent my animal during the Shemitah year, and the renter or the land and the borrower decides to work it during the Shemitah, did I do any type of violation? No. In other words, there's only this idea of Shvitas Bamto when it comes to Shabbos, not when it comes to Shemitah. So there's an obvious difference. So Amalei Abaye, V'chol Hecha, yeah. Amalei Abaye, V'chol Hecha, Da'adam Mitzuva Aser, V'harei Sada, Da'adam Mitzuva Ashrita Sadeo, B'Shvias V'tanan. And the Gemara says, now, wait one second, let's think this through. Every time that there's no issue that reflects on me, then it would be okay. But if the issue reflects on me, so then it's not okay. What let's talk now about selling a property during the Shemitah year. Let's say it was a field that was already plowed over. And basically, what is the field ready for? It's ready to be planted. Can I sell such a property in the Shemitah year? Beis Shammai says no. Beis Hillel says yes. And again, we're focusing on Beis Hillel, the accepted halacha. Memnei sheyachol lahovira. He doesn't have to work the land this year. You know what he could do? He could wait a year. And so even though I'm selling it during Shemitah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to violate Nisr. So maskal of Rav Ashi v'chleich, deinadam etzuvah sharet v'harei kelim, deinadam etzuvah ashutas kelim, b'shvias v'tanan. So the Gemara says, but before you give me an answer, let me give you one more thing to take into consideration. Farm tools. Farming tools. Am I allowed to sell farming tools to anybody during the Shemitah year? The answer is going to be no. Let's see the Mishnah inside. All different types of farming tools, plows and other things. So those things you're not allowed to sell during the Shemitah year. So we should now be thoroughly confused. I don't want us to be confused, but we should all be thoroughly confused. Animals during the Shemitah year, yeah, that you could sell, because he could shecht it. Property during the Shemitah year, yeah, that you can sell because he doesn't have to plant it this year. He can wait till next year. Farming tools during the Shemitah year, oh no, that you can't sell. Because he's going to then use it, and you, the seller, now just violated the Isser of Lifnei Iver. You aided and abet him, violating the Shemitah year, Shemitah. So, are we confused? Yeah, we are confused. So, Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Kol Hecha Deika Lamit Le Talin V'Afagav De Mitzuva, V'Kol Hecha Deleka Lamit Le Lo Talin V'Afagav De Mitzuva. So, the Gemara says beautifully, look, you have to basically ask the following question. Does it have to be used for Isser? Could it be used for Heter? As long as it could be used for Heter, so then it's fine. But if there really is a far cry from it being used for Heter, and the strong probability is that it's going to be used for Isser, so then it's not okay. Look at Rashi, I read the Rashi inside, De'ikad Lamitli. Kigon Be'em of a Stay Near. When it comes to an animal, when it comes to a field. So Rashi writes, Desada Adam Kofitz Laknosa, Mishum Deino Matsu Lo Kol Sha'ah. Buying property is opportunistic. In other words, if an opportunity comes up, you don't want to miss the opportunity. Oh, I have to wait a year before I use the land? Oh, that's fine. Meaning, if I have an opportunity to buy property, I'll do it. So, Deino Matsu Lo Kol Sha'ah Laknosa, Mishum Shasa De Lakaman Kazav Inlay. You know why I'm buying the property? I'm buying it for next year. Meaning, and so it's easy to argue that when I'm buying a property, even if it's plowed, even if it's ready to plant, I'll do so during the Shemitah year, and I'm not going to plant during the Shemitah year. I'm doing so because I have an opportunity to buy property. Buy animals, I guess you can make the same argument, or you could say that I'm buying the animal to shech the animal. But if I'm buying farming tools, why am I buying farming tools during the Shemitah year? I'm doing so in anticipation of next year.
Maybe the price is low because nobody's going to use it this year. So there's a market is not that hot for them, so they're going to sell.
Right. I was thinking that also. Meaning, it could be that now the demand is low. The price is lower. Okay, but clearly the Gemara does not entertain that. Clearly the Gemara is saying that the only reason why someone's buying farming tools is because he's going to use it. So the Gemara says that really now makes everything fit. And fit well, vis-a-vis Shemitah. So can I sell land during Shemitah? Yes. Can I sell animals during Shemitah to another Jew? The answer is yes. Can I sell farming tools? The answer is going to be no. Now, El Amar Vashi Kol Hecha, sorry, I read that. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So it's a little bit strange, meaning that when it comes to now Shemitah, we have everything cleared up. When it comes to selling animals to Goyim, so we have the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to. Why? So because of Chilul Shabbos, possible Chilul Shabbos. I mean, it's a gzera because of Chilul Shabbos. So now, did the Gemara end up justifying Rav Huna's sale of the animal to a guy? Oddly enough, no. The Gemara did not end up justifying his action. He argued that I'm selling it to him for Shechita. The Gemara says, yeah, you can make those arguments for Shemitah, but when selling to another Jew. Doesn't sound like the Gemara has successfully defended Rav Huna. Doesn't sound that way. We have another episode. Rabba Zavin Auchama Lisra Chashlim Kolovi Kochavim. Rabba sold an animal to a Jew, but we know that this Jew is an animal dealer. He sells this animal to Goyim. So Amalei Abayim My Tam Avamar Hachi Amalei Analis Olzvine. So Rabba defending himself says, "Look, what are you asking me for? I sold it to another Jew. I'm good. Amalei V'Ha'azal Mazman Leilovi Kochavim." Yeah, but I'm sorry, Abaye. Abaye says to Rabbah, but you know he's going to turn around and sell to a non-Jew, meaning, right, we agree on that point. So So Rabbah says, look, he doesn't have to sell it to a non-Jew. He could sell it to another Jew. In other words, then let's be dan l'kaf schus. The Gemara says, well, what about the following brisa? The brisa over here talks about the sale of animals to a kusi. Now, who's a kusi? We've gone over this a number of times. It's a popular topic in the Gemara. A kusi is a shomron, someone living up in the north. During Bais Rishon, what Sancheirav did is he destroyed the entire northern kingdom. He didn't kill everybody. He sent them into exile. Where are they right now? It's an excellent question. And he was supplanted them with people from the country of Kusa. Hence, the people living up in the north are called Kusim. They converted. The Navi tells us in the end of Sefer Malachim that they converted. They converted because lions were attacking them because they were over to Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. What do we say about their conversion? Was it a good conversion or was it a bad conversion? And this is a hot topic debate that takes place throughout Shas, in terms of whether the conversion was good or not. The beginning of Chulin discusses this question extensively. It's throughout Shas. So now, let's assume for our purposes right now that the Kusi is a ger emes. It's a good conversion. Let's assume that. So the Gemara says you are allowed. The Gemara says, am I allowed to sell animals to a Kusi? Depends. If the minig is to do it, then yes. And if the minig is not to do it, then no. So, my time. Now the Gemara says, are we worried about Mishkav Behema? Now, we said earlier that by Goyim, we are worried about Mishkav Behema. But we're not talking about Goyim right now. We're talking about Kusim, the Gerim. V'atanya, the Gemara quotes the following brisa. Again, parking your animal by a guy, you're not allowed to do it, and it doesn't matter what the gender is of the animal or the owner of the inn is. One is not allowed to hand your animals over to the guy shepherd. One is not allowed to have yichud with them. And most of them tino kolamdo sefer ulalamdo umnus. You're not allowed to hand your children over them for instruction, not for learning a profession. And there the concern could be both sodomy. The concern could also be shvichas damim. Okay. Aval ma'amina be'ema bepundako shel kusim. One is allowed to leave their animal by a kusi. Zechayim eitz on the kevus. The kevus eitz zechayim. Eitz arachlamer. Zechayim eitz on the zechayim. Una kevus eitz on the kevus. And gender does not matter. Meaning you're allowed to. Umosim be'ema l'rosh alahem. And you can give your animals to the kusi shepherd. Umiyachim imahem umosim lamtinok lam doser v'lam domnos. And if you want your child to learn by a kusi, that's fine. Ama lo chashide. So clearly we're not worried about Mishka Behema, we're not worried about Mishka Zachor v'otanya. And furthermore, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Ein mochrim lam lo zayin v'lo kli zayin v'ein mashchizin lahem. Es hazayin v'ein mochrim lahem lo zdam v'lo kolorin v'lo kivalim v'lo shalsholo shabarzol echad ovi kocham v'echad kusi. One is not allowed to sell arms, weapons, to goyim nor kusim. They're going to turn around, they're going to take those weapons, they're going to kill us with those weapons. And that is it's really two things. One, it's shvichas damim, and it's also self-preservation. Okay. Now, my timer. Now, the Gemara says, now, by the kusi, are we worried that he's going to kill? We're not worried that he's going to kill. Because just a moment earlier, we said in the Gemara, we said that you can hand your child over to the kusi to learn, for instruction. We're not worried about shvichas damim. You know what the kusi is going to do? He's going to turn around and he's going to sell it to a guy. So, all this now gets us to the point where Abai is challenging his Rebbe, Rabbah. Rabbah, you sold your animal to a Jew. And we all know that he's going to turn around and sell it to a guy. He's chashan. He has a history of doing that. And Rabbah, you think it's okay because he's Jewish, but so what? If we know that he's going to sell it to a guy, it's aser. And we've just established that based on what we just learned together regarding the kusi. You can't sell weapons over to a kusi because he's going to turn around and sell it to a guy. And therefore, you're not allowed to do it. V'chitem, a kusi lo avid tshuva, Yisrael avid tshuva. So the Gemara says, and maybe we'll make a distinction between a kusi and a Jew. Meaning a kusi, so his behavior, he's not going to back off from his behavior. Meaning, You sell him the weapon, you sell him the animal, he's going to turn around and sell it to a guy. But maybe with a Jew, maybe he'll be chozer b'tshuva. But finally, the Gemara makeh bepatish. This is the final blow. The Gemara says, we have a braisa. If you know that this Jew is going to take the animal that he just bought from you and turn around and sell it to a guy, and he's chashen and he's reputed for doing that, you're not allowed to sell it to the Jew. Period. So now Rabbah realizes that what he did was not correct. And so what he now does is he tries to undo that which he does. Gemara gives us a really interesting epilogue to the story. Right, Basrei Talsa Parse, Rabbah runs after the Jew that he sold the animal to. He ran three parts of Igadamar, some has another version, Parsa Bechali. He ran one Parsa, but in the sand. Velo Adarke, and he doesn't catch up to him, and he can't find him again, even though in an attempt to try to undo that which he did. Here's where we get to discuss a topic, a second day in a row, and that is, what did we just learn together? I can't sell to a Jew if I know that he's going to be turning around selling it to another Jew. I'm sorry. If I know that he's going to turn around and sell it to a guy. Okay? Why? So presumably because what you're doing now is you're in violation of Lifnei Iver. Meaning, you are now giving him something which you know he's going to be violating. He'll be violating the Issur d'Rabbanan of selling the animal to a guy. And by you giving him the animal to do so, so you're violating Lifnei Iver. We pointed out yesterday, there's an Issur in the Torah of Lifnei Iver, but the Gemara said yesterday's Nav, there's no Lifnei de Lifnei. So this is already two steps removed. So if it's two steps removed, the Gemara yesterday's Nav said it's fine. Meanwhile, our Gemara today clearly concludes that Lifnei de Lifnei is a concern, it's a consideration. Second to last Tosfos on the Amud, let's see it inside. The Gemara's conclusion is that you're not allowed to sell to a Jew when you know that he's going to turn around and sell it to a guy. So Tosfos says, what about yesterday's daf, where we said lifnei de lifnei was okay? Tosfos suggests, a really fascinating answer by Tosfos. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. Fascinating answer. He says that a guy is not bound by the Issur of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So when I give the guy over an animal to sell, and he's going to then turn around and sell it to somebody else, so don't worry about Lifnei Iver, because you are selling it to him, which in of itself would be fine. He then turns around and sells it. He's not violating Lifnei Iver, because there is no Lifnei Iver when it comes to a guy. Masha Inkin, if you're selling it to a Jew, who then turns and sells it to a guy, so now you have a Lifnei Iver, he has a Lifnei Iver, Tosa says that's the difference. So that is a suggestion Tosfos had on how to resolve yesterday's daf versus today's daf. Really, really interesting.
So why can you sell? You're allowed to sell a plowed field to a Jew that's choshud of shviyus.
Right. So the Mishnah's case is that the Mishnah does not describe where he was a choshud. Meaning, if he was a choshud, you may be right.
Rashi said the whole time that we're talking about a Jew that's a choshud.
And you call it para, right? The para, he does say, you're right about the para. I'm with him. I think it's Tam. But you're right. Right, the para chareshes, Yisrael chashal ashvias. Okay. You're right about that. Okay. Amar of Dimi Bar Ava, let's just finish up the daf. Amar of Dimi Bar Ava, Kedar Shah Salim Kor Lovi Kochavim, Asalim Kor Lelistim Yisrael. You can't sell weaponry to Goyim. As I mentioned, there are two issues. One, because you're now aiding and abetting him violating the Yisrael Shvichas Damim. And two, it's kind of intuitive, but self-preservation. Meaning you're going to sell him the weapons that he's going to use against you. Right? That's crazy. Even though I know historically nations have done that. But, okay. But that's crazy. So, says a Braisa, it's not a Braisa, sorry, it's a Memra. And says Rav Dimi Bar Abba, that you're not allowed to sell weapons to a Jew where you know that the Jew kills. Again, you're now going to be aiding and abetting his lifestyle, which is murder. So the Gemara says, well, if he has a rap of killing, so then it's kind of obvious, and I don't need a memra to tell me this. And if he's not a murderer, so then it should be okay. So lolam de lokatav achba maiskinan bim mishamute de zimna david lasul enafshe. So the Gemara says, you know what he really is? He's not a murderer. He's a pocket picker. Okay? And so what he does is, you know, he basically, you know, petty theft, nothing that big. But, in other words, he needs to defend himself after he picks somebody's pocket. And so he may end up having to kill somebody. So he's not a full-fledged murderer. But at the same time, however, he puts himself in positions where he may need to murder. And so by you giving him the weaponry in order to do so, so that's enough considered aiding and abetting where you're now in violation of Lifnei Iver when you actually make that sale. Okay. Right? Shields. Shields is where we're going to be starting tomorrow. So can I sell weapons of defense? Right? These Gemaras are fascinating. Okay, that comes up in tomorrow. In the course of today's daf, we learned about the issur of selling large livestock to a non-Jew. You're not allowed to do that. Small livestock you are allowed to do. Again, really depends on minute. I'll show you after. And then the Gemara discusses why you're not allowed, why did the Chachamim ban the sale of large livestock? So the Gemara had a discussion, but to distill the entire discussion, it has to do with the fact that if you sell it to him, you may end up renting it to him, lending it to him, test driving the animal, and you'll be in violation of Shitas Behemto and or Mechamer. The Gemara then went over a number of incidences where it may be okay. Through a middleman, the Gemara says that's okay, because we can rule out all the reasons. Rav Huna sold his parah to a guy. The Gemara challenged his action. Rabba ended up selling his animal to a guy. Rabba sold his animal to a Jew who we know that's going to sell it to a guy. Abaye said, you're not allowed to do that after give and take. Rabba concedes the point, and Rabba tries to undo that, which he did. And then we concluded today by a discussion of selling weaponry to either Goyim or to Jews who you know are murderers.